Luke chapter number 7 this morning, verse number 11. It came to pass the day after that they went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. And now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, some people say bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. They glorified God, saying that a great prophet is arisen among us, and that God hath visited his people. If the Lord be my helper this morning, I usually try to exegete a passage of Scripture, and I'll be a little more topical today. But if God will be my helper, I want to deliver my heart this morning. I want to talk to you about some things a dead man don't need. I'm talking to you this morning with this thought in mind of some things that a dead man don't need. When the Lord Jesus went and he walked up to this corpse, this precious young man, his life is gone. The Scripture said he was young, his mother's weeping. And the Lord Jesus put his hand on the bier. The bier, if you will, is nothing more than just a board, I guess. Some of you firefighters might call that a gurney, but it's just something to help those pallbearers to be able to carry this lifeless corpse. And the Lord touched that, and when he did, he told that young man to arise. There's a whole lot of things the Lord could have done that day that he didn't do. But there was a whole lot of things that could have been done for that young man that would have done him no good. There's one thing and one thing alone that young man needed that day, and he needed life. And there's folks sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. You've had about all the religion you can stomach, and what you need is life. And you need life, and that comes from Christ. I can tell you some things a dead man don't need. A dead man don't need a bath. In most cultures, it's an exercise or a practice of washing or preparing a body for burial. That's normal most places. And that's little more than a social courtesy that preserves some element of human dignity for the deceased before the body is viewed by friends and by their family. And I think that's a great thing to do that, to clean that body up and make it look as presentable as it can be. But this morning, I want you to understand it don't matter how clean that corpse is. As soon as that heart stops beating, the cells are deprived of oxygen, and the cells lose their structural integrity, and the cell tissues begin in that body to deteriorate and release their own enzymes. And the enzymes that are released, at first, there's no obvious signs of decomposition. And I'm not trying to be gross this morning, but internally, the bacteria from the gut, the gastrointestinal tract, literally begins to digest the soft tissues and the organs of the human body. And man's decomposition starts from the inside out. And there is a very short little window of time that a genteel society and a civilized culture has learned to preserve that body, to try to make it look as good as it can possibly look for as long as it can possibly look that way. But you mark it down, the moment that heart stops and the blood ceases to flow and feed the cells in that body, there's no amount of personal hygiene, there's no amount of water, there's no amount of soap, there's no amount of washing that could take place that would do anything to revive life back into that dead corpse. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying what a dead man needs is life. And he don't need a bath, but when decomposition of the human body works from the inside out, spiritual death is an issue of the heart. It's on the inside. Spiritual corruption works its way from the inside to the outside. And the thing about that is, when man becomes aware of that spiritual corruption, man will bathe as hard and fast as he can and do everything he can to keep that body as clean as he can clean it. But what I'm afraid, I've got to tell you this morning, there's not one thing you can do to fix what's wrong on the inside. Hey, wash, take a bath, do everything you can do, but I'm telling you, you're powerless. There ain't nothing. You make it look as good as you can make it look. I know some of y'all laugh about this flip phone, but this flip phone has the innards of a smartphone. You see that screen? It's got apps all in it. This is a high-grade military phone. I could throw this thing across this building this morning and pick it up, and it'll work just as good as it worked before I threw it. It's got all kind of buzzers and bells and whistles and settings and things that you can do with this phone. It's got a full battery this morning. It's on and it's working. There's one problem with this phone. It ain't got no signal. I said it ain't got no signal. And it's absolutely worthless. And if you sit here this morning, I don't care how pretty you are on the outside and how many buzzers, bells, and whistles you got, if you've never been born of the Spirit of God, you're dead on the inside and you've got no signal. Now listen, unless you're dumb enough, you paid $1,000 for a telephone just so you can play tic-tac-toe, you bought that thing so you could communicate with it. And a phone that won't communicate ain't no good. And you walking around here, a spiritual corpse, does you, nor God, nor the body of this church any good. And what you need this morning is not a bath. You don't just need to clean up. You don't need to clean up your life, clean up your language, clean up what you look at on the internet, what you watch on television, but what you need's life. Jesus said in Matthew 23:25, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup or of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean thou that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside then may be clean also." God's cleansing starts on the inside. And I see people every day of my life that are working as hard as they can work to clean up the outside. But you get the inside clean, the outside, that'll work its way out. Luke 11:39, the Lord said to him, "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." I don't care how good you look on the outside. I don't care how many Sunday school pins you've got, baptismal certificates and church memberships and all that stuff you can put together. That won't give you life. Clean up everything, dress up everything, play church, play spiritual, play that. But deep down inside, your nature ain't never been changed. You've never been regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And there is no spiritual life. In 2 Peter 2:22, Peter said it this way. He said, "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." A lot of folks have the idea that means somebody got saved and lost their salvation. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That's got to do with somebody that cleaned themselves up and trying to act like they know God, but eventually they run back to the same mud holes they're in. And some of them run to religious mud holes, but they all wind up back in the mud hole. Life begins on the inside and it works its way out. And I've watched some, and I know some of you sitting here in the front have seen some of this morning. And I never will forget, several years ago, you girls had a cleaning day at Flint Hill. A lot of the folks sitting here were in the Flint Hill revival, that period of years that God met on that hill. And I've seen those girls meet, and they met on a Saturday and cleaned the church, getting ready for a special meeting coming up. And there was one little old gal, she was lost as a ball in high weeds, little old Miss Linda come in and got to hang around them women that got saved by the grace of God and sharing their testimonies and full of joy, full of life. And God done something in their heart, and little old Miss Linda, she left that day. And we got to watching her, and the next Sunday or two, she was lit up like she had batteries. I mean, she looked like a Christmas tree. She come in with a glow. She got a joy about her. And I told my wife, I said, something has happened to her. I believe God's done something in her soul. And she got where she couldn't stand it. And finally one day, she stood up before the church and she said, I left when the ladies was cleaning the church and God was dealing with my soul and I was under conviction. And she said, I had to pull my car off the side of the road. And she said, I just want to tell publicly I got saved sitting beside the road. Brother C.L., I knew that before she told me. Because what's on the inside will get out on you. It'll get out on you like a dose of the measles. Huh? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your inside will get out on you whether you mean for it to or not. You want to know if somebody's dead or alive, won't you look for signs of life? Fireman, do you want to check to see if I got a heartbeat? If I want to know whether you're alive or dead, I want to know where's your heartbeat. Where's your passion? What's your love? I see folks in love with a whole lot of things in this world today. I see them in love with their family. I see them in love with their children. I see them absolutely goo-goo over their grandchildren. But I don't see a whole lot of folks that's got a passion for Christ. I don't see a lot of folks with a love for the church. I'm talking about feeling for a heartbeat. So folks that want to be around the things of God, want to be around the people of God. God birthed me into the family of God. God, about a year later, birthed my wife into the family of God. It was a time back in the 90s, God was still on the land in some places. And I can remember when we got saved, got born of the Spirit of God. My wife and I were excited about going to church, getting to the house of God. We'd find out where they're having a revival meeting. And we'd go to revival meetings all over this country just to get around work, just hoping God might show up somewhere and we'd get in on it. I'm feeling for a pulse this morning. You got a passion, you got a love, you got a heartbeat. I'll tell you something else I look for. I look for movement. I think things that are alive ought to move once in a while. I never will forget, some of y'all know this, I had a deacon several years ago, and to be honest with you, a very dear family member. And I remember being in services, and I went back and listened to one of them, and if you ain't never been on our website, the Free Gospel Preaching website, there's a song on there, Sister Lori singing, and God just decided to settle in and just move on us. And we got in a worship service, and God just come by and let us worship. And He poured His Holy Ghost out that day, and I watched people weep. Miss Nita, I still hear you shouting on that. I hear Miss Brenda shouting, my mama shouting, glorifying God, my wife testifying for the glory of God. Some of those men about to come unglued, and God all over that place. And I remember looking back and seeing a couple of those men sitting there absolutely stoic. Stoic. Did not and would not move. You know why? Because they didn't have no life. They were dead. You see that bunch of plastic flowers? They're dead. They got no life. And I can stand here and I can say, would you move for me? Well, maybe I wasn't saying it nice enough. Pretty please, would you move for me? And I ain't going to, but I could cuss them. And they still ain't going to move. But Brother Danny, if you've got the Holy Ghost of God living you and the wind starts blowing, you know why a lot of folks don't never move? Ain't got no Holy Ghost in. When He moves on His people, they'll show some signs of life. There'll be some movement. I'll tell you something else. There'll be, if something's alive, Brother Danny, there's going to be appetite. Dead things don't eat. But live things got to be fed. Well, I'm going to move on. Are we having fun yet? Dead men don't need a bath. Dead men don't need a bed. You see, a bed's a place to relax and rest, and sometimes it's a place to be entertained. If you want to sit and watch a ball game, a dead man don't need a bed. Most of what's going on in the world today that calls itself church is humanism. It's an outlook or system of thought that attaches the prime importance to the human rather than the divine or the spiritual needs. And humanist beliefs stress the potential value of the good of human beings. They emphasize the common human needs and seek rational ways to solve human problems. That's where most churches are at today. They're just trying to make people feel better about their sin. And there are mass multitudes of churches today that are humanistic rather than theistic. And dead men don't need a bed and they don't need to be entertained. And godless, apostate churches all over this country genuinely, honestly have it in their mind that if you can get people to come to church, that it don't matter what you do, it don't matter how you do it, if you can just get people to come to church, well, that's how you're going to reach them. Well, I got news for you. If you'll avoid God's divine plan, then you will be devoid of God's divine presence. And when you're devoid of God's divine presence, you will be devoid of God's divine provision. I'm telling you, God's got to show up. God's got to show up. And Brother Danny, I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade 10 million worlds for the few times that God has chosen to show His divine presence right here and let us worship and let us bless His holy name. And He's come by and squeezed hearts and met with folks and met their needs and met my needs. And 1 Corinthians 1:21 said, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And people say, preacher, we need to get us a family life center, and we need fellowship circles and lively music and entertainment. And all of it is centered around flesh, around family, around friends, and around feelings. And they'll say, well, preacher, what have you got for the young people? What have you got for the senior citizens? And preacher, what have y'all got down there for the singles? Well, I've said this time and time again, and this ain't going to be nothing new to you, but I got three things. And as long as I'm the pastor of this church, and you can ask me to leave today if you want to, but as long as I'm here, there's three things going to be prominent in this church. There's going to be preaching, there's going to be praying, there's going to be praising God. I'm going to tell you what. You say, what do you got for the young people? I'm going to teach them young people out of this old redback book to sing them old hymns, to sing Amazing Grace and Blessed Assurance and them great hymns of God and them things that our forefathers sung. And when we get happy in the Lord and praising God and God gets around and we'll praise God, I tell you what your youngins need. Listen, Miss Erica, I love you like my own daughter, and I'm giving you some fatherly advice. If there's one thing your children need, they need to sit under the preaching of the Word of God, but they need to see Mama and Grandma and some of these other folks get full of the Holy Ghost of God, tears streaming down their cheeks, stand up, wave their hand, and say, I just want to give God glory for being my God and my Savior, pulling me out of the mire He pulled me out of. It'd do your children good to get around praising God. I'm not talking about some foolishness, you know, this let's all swing and sway and sing kumbaya and, you know, some of this foolish stuff people do, but I'm talking about when God's in it. They need that. They need to see the praises of God, and they need to sing the praises of God. They need to learn to pray. They need to hear Mom and Daddy praying. They need to hear that. I know what it was. Sister Judy is a grown man to come home to my mom and daddy's house with my wife and come in late night from the church service and my daddy and mama elderly not able to get out of the house and go to the house of God and my daddy laying in that bed and I walk in the house, Miss Velda, time and again and open up the door and step into the living room and hear voices back in the bedroom and it wasn't mom and daddy talking to one another, they was talking to God. It'd do your youngins good to hear mom and daddy slipped off somewhere once in a while talking to God. They need that. Why is it? Because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. They need to be around where the Spirit of God is, and they need to be around where the preaching of the Word of God is. They need to be under that. Well, I see a lot of folks get a whole lot of things in their mind. I told you I was going to be brief, but a dead man don't need a better location. A dead man don't need a better location. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about that. There ain't a coffin in this cemetery. Brother Don, if you go out there today, and I ain't asking you to, but if you dig one up and relocate them, put them on the other side of the building, they'll be just as dead over there as they was over there. There's a whole lot of folks get that idea. Well, preacher, we need a friendlier atmosphere. We need some new faces, and we need some new friends, and we need to go where they got more young people. And you can just feel it coming, Brother Danny. It's right there. It's almost there. It's going to slip out. And then they'll give you that. And besides, we ain't getting fed. You know why most people ain't getting fed? Because they won't wash their stinking hands and sit down at the table. If most folks would wash your hands and sit down at the table, you'd get fed. A lot of folks don't want fed. They want foolishness. I'm going to tell you this. God places a candlestick. You don't need a better location. What you need to do is you need to find out where God's at, and you need to get there. And then you need to be faithful to it when you do. Listen, there's folks sitting here in this building this morning, and I ain't gonna put them on the spot, but there's folks in this building this morning take you around in Sunday school after service today and tell you what it's like to have a place to worship where the Spirit of God met with them, and now they ain't got that no more. If you ain't careful, you can get what you want and you'll lose what you had. Find out where God's at and get there. Because Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And what folks is really needing is life. They're looking for luxury, but they need life. And with salvation comes life. There comes joy, there comes peace, and there comes love. Do you know why it is that you send funerals to a flower? Flowers to the funeral. I'm having a Joe Biden moment. You know why you send, I'll lose you for sure. You know why you send flowers to a funeral? Cover up a stink. Cover up the stench of death. When you get around some people, I'm through anyway. But I'm just going to ask you this. Well, you get around some people, why they grieve you so bad? Why some folks seem to just cause the Holy Ghost in you to wad up in a knot? They're so negative, they're so critical, and they're so crotchety, and they're so dirty. What is it about that so offensive to a child of God? I tell you what it is, it's the smell of death. It's the stench of death. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Why are some people so hard to endure and deal with? And why are some people such a blessing? I can tell you, because some people have the Spirit of God and some people don't. Some people have the Spirit of God and some people don't. Some people you get around them, Brother Danny, it's just a smell of death. It grieves me and it hurts my heart on the inside. I'm real thankful, Sister Judy. I need you to make me a list of some of the great men of God that stood in this pulpit in days gone by. But I know for sure Dr. James Stewart has stood in this pulpit on different occasions. Dr. Stewart's one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, one of the greatest men of God that ever lived in our lifetime, saw tens of thousands saved in Europe just before World War II. He's got two precious daughters. I've never met his son. My wife and I, his daughters are two of the dearest friends. The older daughter, she's gone on to her reward now, Miss Sheila. But I remember the first time I ever met Miss Sheila, Dr. Stewart's older daughter. And the first time I ever met her, Miss Pat, my wife and I went to a restaurant and we sat down and we had lunch together. We had some fellowship time together. And Brother Chip, I don't know if I've ever been around a woman in my life that was any more full of the Holy Ghost than that woman. She's special, wasn't she, Miss Lord? She's full of God. She's full of God. But when you got around her, you didn't smell death. When you got around her, Brother Danny, and you get that faint whiff of the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, and I want to be that individual. When folks get around me, they don't smell death. And there's been times in my life I've watched my dear wife get full of God, and I was discouraged and hurt, and Miss Belden needing some help, looking for something from God. My wife not know I was struggling. She didn't know what's going on in my heart. My little old wife come in. She'd been alone with God, and she'd been somewhere in a secret place, and come in and sit out on the couch. She'd start talking about something God shown her in the Word of God, something going on in her heart, and first thing you know, a tear slips down her cheek, and God's doing something in my heart through my wife, and I get to smelling that lily. I got news for you. You're one or the other. I don't think there's really an in-between. I think you're one or the other. There's some things a dead man don't need, but I'm going to give you this, and we're going home. There is a thing or two a dead man does need, according to this story. A dead man's got to have a buyer. A beer. B-E-I-R. And it takes six good men to carry one. Brother Danny, that's a little scary to me, because that tells me that lost folks are dead weight on the people around them. I said lost folks are a dead weight on the people around them. But if you're here this morning and you're dead in trespasses and sins, that means spiritually you're dead on the inside, and just as much as this high-dollar military phone don't have no signal, it don't have no service, you ain't got no signal. You're out of business. You're dead in trespasses and sins. But you still got flesh, and you still got a soul. And Brother Danny, I see folks every day falling under the weight. Deep down on the inside, they're dead in trespasses and sins, and they're weary, because every step they take, Brother Cooley, they're carrying a corpse. Every step they take, they're carrying a corpse, because there's something on the inside that's dead. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. You say, "Preacher, it's just so hard. Things are just so hard. It's just so bad, and that things are so bleak." Well, you know what Jesus said, Brother Ed? Jesus said, "My yoke's easy." And he said, "My burden's light." Ain't that what he said, Brother Danny? I'm still in the book, ain't I? If Jesus said his yoke's easy and his burden's light, then tell me what's going on with you. What's going on? Well, there could be a couple of things. One is you could be toting around something you don't need to be toting, and you need to get rid of it. Or you may just be toting around a corpse. Something on the inside of you is dead. Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He loves you this morning. He wants to give you life and give you life more abundant. But if you want to walk around a corpse, that's a choice you're going to have to make. But I'm going to tell you what, I would not, for 10 million worlds and all that is therein, I would not trade the day that God took my load of sin and God gave me life. God gave me eternal life, Brother Daddy. I spent 25 years thinking I knew what life was, and I had no idea what life was. And God saved my unworthy soul. God saved my wretched, miserable soul. And when He did, Brother Cooley, God gave me such peace, such joy, such love. He's turned my world upside down. And God, the Holy Ghost, working, began to work on my wife. And God gave me a new wife. And I heard her time and again talking about going down the road after God saved her, driving down the road singing to the top of her lungs, and Miss Nita just consciously stopping and thought, "Why in the world am I so happy? What am I so happy about?" I'll tell you what, Brother Danny, when you got joy in your soul, yes, sir, you got something this world don't understand, this world don't know nothing about. Well, I've said everything I need to say with heads bowed and eyes closed.